Thank you, Todd. I guess I'm going to do a children's message this morning, right? Now, that was great. Thank you for participating. And we do thank those with in the music ministry for the work that they do. It's a blessing this morning to sing some of those old songs that I got my teeth on. My teeth actually came in while I was singing those too. So I'm going to ask you to turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 12 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We began last Sunday morning to look at the topic of spiritual gifts, specifically under the title Understanding Spiritual Gifts. And we get that from 1 Corinthians 12 in the very first verse, where Paul, in writing 2,000 years ago roughly to the local church in Corinth, there in modern-day Europe, and we find as he wrote to them, he is addressing a number of different issues that were going on in that local church, and of course, the Holy Spirit of God overruling, preserving, directing Paul to write not only what would be beneficial and profitable for them at that time, but also for us today, here in the 21st century in Greensboro, North Carolina. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 1, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brethren, I do not want you to be ignorant. I want you to understand," he says, "the truths of God about spiritual gifts." And that's what we're seeking to do here in this study. Now, last week we looked for a few moments, had some thoughts about a symphony orchestra. And I showed my ignorance. See, do not be ignorant, brethren, about symphony orchestras. That's not a biblical truth, but for some reason, I thought there were 64 members in a symphony orchestra. I found out that was not true. There are a variety of numbers depending on the music that's being played, depending on the size of the venue, depending on a number of different circumstances. There can be 100 different musicians playing different instruments here. I counted those, or I started counting them. I got interrupted and I went back. So it seemed like there were around 90 in this particular orchestra. But it's interesting, as you look at an orchestra, no matter the size of that orchestra or the venue, basically the instruments are going to be set up like we have here on this chart. And I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this chart, but I do want to make the point that there are different sections and there are different instruments and there are different individuals playing those different instruments in those different sections. And there is one conductor standing there at the music stand at the bottom of the picture, and he or she is directing that symphony, that all of them playing together different instruments, even different brands of the same instrument, and yet all of that being played together hopefully will come together and make that beautiful music that we can enjoy. I'm so thankful that God created such a variety of music. We saw that even this morning in our opening, in the different types of music we sang. Maybe you appreciate or don't appreciate symphony orchestra music, but there's a little bit of a picture on that that gives us a great parallel to the working of the church, and specifically of the local church, in working together with the different spiritual gifts that God has given to us. We've mentioned several times recently, had a couple of Sundays on it, this vision of the elders here as we seek to guide the assembly, that we might, as a local church, be exalting the Lord Jesus Christ through the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, from Ephesians 4:12. And we can summarize that as equipping saints to serve. Equipping saints to serve. And we did a couple of messages on that. If you missed them, I'd encourage you to go to the website and listen to those. And then if you missed last Sunday and you want to tie it together with this Sunday, we'll do a very brief review. But I encourage you to go back and use the chapel website for that and for other things. We started out understanding the big picture of spiritual gifts and looking at spiritual gifts through a wide-angle lens. and taking the lens to the camera, as it were, and getting that big picture of all that we find, or much of what we find, of the revelation in Scripture regarding spiritual gifts. And then we're going to move ahead into the reasons for spiritual gifts and then some restrictions on the exercise of spiritual gifts. So that's really where we're going to jump in now. I'm not going to go back over these, but remind you the major teaching on spiritual gifts in the New Testament, 12 and 4. 1 Corinthians 12 and Romans 12. Ephesians 4 and 1 Peter 4. 12 and 4. And we saw that spiritual gifts, as we find them in the Scripture, are abilities in the spiritual realm. They're abilities that God has given in His grace, we read in Romans chapter 12. They're given only to believers. They are different from natural talents, though they may merge together with the natural talent of an individual. But they're only given to believers, but they are given to every believer. So you have a spiritual gift if you know the Lord Jesus Christ is Savior. We're not going to go back over this, but to remind you that there are gifts that were temporary, that were necessary in the early church before the Word of God was completed. Sign gifts to validate the messengers. Substitute gifts which brought forth the very Word of God before we had the completed Scripture. But there are gifts that are still being exercised today, and we're looking at the purpose of the gifts. And that other screen that we looked at, we recognize these gifts as temporary because of the purpose and also because of Scripture that we read. But there are gifts that, because of their purpose, are still beneficial today, and we went briefly through those and we'll refer back to them again later. So we're going to look now at the reasons for the spiritual gifts. Two of them that we will mention this morning. A first one we find here in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And we're going to go down to verse 7. We read all of these passages last Sunday. We're not going to do that today for sake of time, but we'll make some reference to a variety of passages. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and you notice verse 7, after he has listed some information about the gifts and ministries and activities, but the manifestation of the Spirit is given to each one for the profit of all. There we have again the Spirit of God giving to every believer, each believer, no matter if they've just gotten saved or they've been saved for 70 years or anywhere in between or beyond. God has given a spiritual enablement, an ability in the spiritual realm that has a spiritual effect. It's an ability given from God that you did not have before you were saved. And one of the reasons for this gift is the edification of Christ's family, of the body of Christ. You think about that illustration of the human body that we saw last week in three of the four passages that teach on spiritual gifts. Three of those four passages use the human body as an illustration. And you think about your own body, and the benefit to your finger is a benefit to the body. And what the finger is able to do is not just for the benefit of the finger or even of the hand, but rather the finger is beneficial for the whole body because it's all working together. And when equipped saints serve, the body is built up. That's what edification is, building up. And we find in Ephesians chapter 4, the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect or mature man together, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children. The body of Christ being built up in unity and built up in maturity. That is God's intent for the spiritual gifts. You have been given an enablement from God to serve Him, and you did not receive that for your own benefit only, but rather for the benefit of the whole body. There's a second reason, and we'll go over to 1 Peter chapter 4. You might want to hold your place here in 1 Corinthians 12. We'll be back. But in 1 Peter 4, we read these verses last Sunday morning. We mentioned that no specific gifts are listed here, but rather there is a categorization of gifts, of the permanent gifts which are functioning today, those that are speaking gifts and those that are primarily serving gifts. We said that both of those types of gifts, speaking gifts or service, and serving gifts often involve and usually involve some type of speaking, but we're looking at the primary focus. So notice here in 1 Peter chapter 4 and in verse 10, as each one has received a gift. Let that sink in again for a moment. As each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If anyone speaks, let him speak as the oracles of God. If anyone ministers or serves, let him do it with the ability which God supplies. And notice the reason. Notice the goal. That in all things God may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom belong the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. The Lord Jesus in John 17, as he prayed to his Father, he spoke of the Father being glorified in the Son. And when the Son is glorified, the Son of God is glorified, the Father is glorified. And our spiritual gifts are to be used in such a way, by the empowerment of God and for the purposes of God, that God will be glorified through His Son, the Lord Jesus, whose body is being built up. We're reminded that edification is not an end in itself. And you know, if you think about it again, humanly speaking, the reason that we should build up our bodies is not just so that our bodies would be built up, but that we can use our bodies for things that are beneficial. The same is true of the body of Christ. We desire to exercise our spiritual gifts so that the body of Christ here in this local assembly and in this community and in the world will be strengthened and built up toward unity and maturity. But not only that, that is just a means to the end that God will be glorified as His Son is glorified. Again, our vision, exalting the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how the vision begins. As the saints are equipped for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, spiritual gifts are a very important aspect of that. I'd like to mention some restrictions on the exercise of spiritual gifts. Now remember, we're taking a wide angle view. And as you go into the scripture, you can find some more specific restrictions on individual gifts. But that's not what we're doing right now. We're taking the big picture. So these restrictions, these warnings, these guidelines really relate to the idea of all of the spiritual gifts. And I want to mention four of them. And I hope that these will help us, whatever our spiritual gifts may be, will help us to understand some thinking that we need to have to properly use those gifts. Because it's easy to get the wrong thinking. And so we have restrictions. First of all, spiritual gifts are not a measure of spirituality. You see, as we think about those different gifts that we flashed on the screen and talked some about last week, some of those gifts might seem to belong to someone who's more spiritual than other gifts. The one with the gift of evangelism who is particularly gifted in sharing the gospel, you might think, well, that person has to be more spiritual than the one with the gift of helps. But you know, that's not necessarily true. A believer with a speaking gift is not necessarily more spiritual than the believer with a serving gift. and someone can get up and speak, share the Word of God, and be very unspiritual in attitude or heart. And the one who is doing what seems like a menial task may be doing so with a heart full of the Lord Jesus, directed by the Spirit of God. Now, our desire would be that every believer with any particular gift and exercising that gift may do so in the power of the Spirit, with the desire that the Lord Jesus may be exalted and His body built up. Doing it after having been in the Word of God and in prayer, that is the desire, but it's not necessarily so. And so we need to be careful about assuming. You see, spiritual gifts are not a measure of spirituality. We just read from 1 Corinthians chapter 12. If you ever want to know whether or not spiritual gifts are an evidence of spirituality, read 1 Corinthians. You'll find out right quickly that church was very, very, very gifted in a visible way, and we find that they were very, very unspiritual in a lot of their attitudes. So we want to be careful about that. Secondly, spiritual gifts are not a means of selfishness or self-centeredness or self-fulfillment. They're not for selfish benefit. Notice again here in verse 10 of 1 Peter 4, as each one has received a gift, minister it to one another as good stewards or managers of the manifold grace of God. That spiritual enablement that you have, it is not for your personal exaltation. It is not for you to use selfishly, but rather to profit the body. It is not for self-glory that anybody would look and say, "Wow, look at her. Wow, look at him. How great that person is using that spiritual gift." But rather that they may see our good works and glorify our Father in heaven. Spiritual gifts are not given that we might be prideful, but rather that we might be humble. Turn with me quickly to Romans chapter 12, if you would. Romans 12, we read this full portion last Sunday. Romans 12, and we're just going to look quickly at one verse here in the context of spiritual gifts. As Paul shares from his heart about this issue, this topic, a very important issue of spiritual gifts. He doesn't want them to be ignorant. He doesn't want us to be ignorant. He wants us to understand. Verse 3 of Romans 12. For I say, through the grace given to me... there's Paul right there. Paul is not exalting himself. He says, you know what? I've been given grace. I don't deserve it. And what I'm saying to you, I'm saying to you by the grace that God has given me. I say, through the grace given to me, to everyone who is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly or appropriately or properly, sensibly, a right manner of thinking about ourselves, to think soberly as God has dealt to each one a measure of faith. It's not about me. It's not about you in our spiritual gifts. In 1 Corinthians chapter 12, as Paul gives that lengthy bit of information on spiritual gifts, at the end of chapter 12, he says, but I show you a more excellent way. And you know what chapter 13 is, don't you? The love chapter. You see, it's about exercising our spiritual gifts in love for the benefit of others, not for the benefit of self. Thirdly, spiritual gifts are not a matter of specialization. And I might just tweak that a little bit. Not a matter of over-specialization. Now, God has given you, if you know the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, the Spirit of God lives within you, and you are given a spiritual enablement, an ability in the spiritual realm. And some people recognize what their gift is, and they say, well, that's what I'm supposed to do, and it seems like almost only what I'm supposed to do. But you know, I think we need to be careful, because we can look at all of these gifts for today, and as we mentioned last week, just because I don't have the gift of giving, as is listed here in Romans 12, I can't say, well, I don't have to give. No, every believer is to give. You might say, I don't have the gift of teaching. I don't have to teach. No, every believer is to be a teacher in some level, in some setting. No, we need to be careful that we don't become over-specialized and say, I'm not going to help because my gift is evangelism, so I'm not going to help over there in those practical ways. We need to be careful. That's not the purpose of the spiritual gifts. And lastly, a last restriction, spiritual gifts are not a motivation for stagnation or inactivity. Some people, because of what you've heard called the paralysis of analysis, don't get around to anything. It's like, well, I don't know what my spiritual gift is. I can't quite figure it out. So I'm going to sit here and I'm going to wait and I'm not going to do anything until God reveals to me my spiritual gift, and at that time I'm going to begin to serve. That is not God's intention with the spiritual gifts. He didn't tell you, you have a spiritual gift and don't do anything until you know 100% what that gift is. So here's some restrictions, here's some warnings, here's some things to be careful about as we seek to use these gifts that God has given to us. So that's the big picture. That's the big picture, the wide-angle lens. Now we're going to move to the second of our 3 points, understanding the role of the assembly in the big picture of spiritual gifts. And here we're going to look at spiritual gifts through a mid-range lens. We're going to take the camera and we're going to take that mid-range lens, and we're not going to get the big wide angle, and we're not going to zoom in on individuals yet. We're going to take the mid-range and we're going to bring it down to the local assembly. And I just want to make a few comments here, because I believe that the local church is the laboratory for the functioning of spiritual gifts. And we're going to work on our gifts together. And we're going to be working in the laboratory and trying things out together. And we're going to be exercising our spiritual gifts as we meet together, but also as we hopefully function together in other settings. And also as we go out into the world, that we might be effective for the Lord. So let me very quickly just mention 3 things about the role of the assembly in the big picture of spiritual gifts. First of all, dependency. You see, all of the gifts are needed in a properly functioning local assembly. All of those gifts that are for today are needed in this assembly. Just like every part of my body, humanly speaking, is needed. It's important. Some may be more visible, more obviously important, but they're all important. Now, there are certain parts of my body I can live without, but they're all important. And if I'm going to have a properly functioning body, I need all of my body parts. And it's true in the local assembly. And as we serve together in the work of the ministry to accomplish God's purpose of building up the body so that Christ is exalted, we must be equipped with knowledge about the gifts. We must be equipped with instruction in the gifts. We must be equipped with opportunities to use our gifts. Because as our gifts are exercised, the Lord is exalted. And again, we can go back to the orchestra, and we can see the coordination of all of those instruments and musicians together make that beautiful music. And if one is sick and doesn't show up, the show must go on. And if a string breaks on a violin, the show must go on. But it doesn't have the fullness, the richness that it would have if every part of the body, every part of the orchestra in that situation was working together. You see, the gifts aren't designed to be used solo, with no concern for the body of Christ. There may be times when one particular gift, one particular individual may be doing something that is more highlighted, but that's only as a part of all of the body working together. And we're going to be able to touch more lives when we work together, when we embrace the same vision and work in the same direction, led by the same Holy Spirit. Secondly, diversity. Diversity is one of those words that gets a bad rap in our culture today. It's been hijacked by the culture. But diversity means variety. And we have diversity in the unity of the local church. And we find that in 1 Corinthians 12 very clearly, as he teaches that the body is many parts, but they all make up the one. There's a great diversity in the unity. And the different spiritual gifts not only function differently, and they don't only perform different tasks, but they also tend to motivate believers to respond to the same situation in different ways. So, you know, if we're really going to understand each other, we've got to understand that we have different spiritual gifts. And your spiritual gift is probably going to cause you to respond to situations differently than your spiritual gift. And if I only look through my spiritual gift and say, what's wrong with these people? Why can't they see what I'm looking at? Are they blind? No, they're just looking at it from a different angle, praise God. But everybody's not looking at it the same way I am. You may have heard this illustration before. And this is a practical, real-life illustration that uses spiritual gifts, but it's not a spiritual situation. So understand that. You're at a meal. Maybe we're all having a meal together. And someone goes up to the dessert table. I know none of y'all would do that, but just imagine that somebody went up to the dessert table. Went up to the dessert table and got a dessert. And on the way back, they trip and fall and drop the dessert on the floor. Well, if we took it from the perspective of the spiritual gifts and the way that they look at things, again, this is not a spiritual illustration, a practical illustration. Someone with the gift of prophecy, motivated to correct the problem, to speak to the problem, might say to that individual, that's what happens when you're not careful. Now, the person with the gift of serving, they're motivated to meet a need, and they may come up the same situation and say, oh, let me help you clean that up. The one with the gift of teaching wants to discover and explain why it happened and says something like this. You know what? Your dessert plate was too heavy on one side, and that could have been avoided if you'd have checked the balance of the dish when you made the dessert or before you lifted it out of the counter, if you made sure it was balanced right. That's what the teacher might say. The one with the gift of exhortation, they want to encourage and motivate for the future. And the exhorter might say, you know, next time, serve the dessert from a different dish, and then everything will be all right. Somebody has the gift of giving, and they come up and they say, wanting to give to meet that tangible need, look, I'll be happy to buy you a new dessert. All right? I'll buy you a new one. Don't worry about that. Someone with the gift of leading, they want the group to work together. They want to coordinate and organize. And the leader might come up and say, Jim, would you get the mop? Sue, please help pick it up. And Mary, would you come and help me fix another dessert? The one who shows mercy as a gift, wanting to comfort the person responsible and offer sympathy, might say, don't feel badly, it could have happened to anybody. See, there's an example of how people with different gifts may respond to the same situation very differently. Which one of those were right? All of them were right. They were all right. They were all beneficial. They were all working together to help the person who dropped the dessert. Again, that's a practical illustration, but the same thing is true spiritually speaking. There's a great diversity, and we need to understand that. And we need to embrace that and rejoice in that. Well, the third thing is we think about the assembly in this big picture. It's the idea of dreams. I mentioned this, and I'm not talking about dreams and visions. But the idea of dreams, I mentioned this a couple of weeks ago as we thought about the vision, something I had read. And encouraging us to have dreams for our local assembly that are bigger than our memories. You know what, I'm going to be honest with you, that's got to be some pretty big dreams. Because there are some mighty big memories from this local assembly. Not just children's songs that we sang this morning. But if we had time to go back and be reminded of the history of this local assembly over the 70-some years that we've been meeting here in Greensboro, all the thousands of people whose lives have been touched by the ministries of this local assembly, we have some great memories. And we don't want to minimize those memories. We don't want to make them any smaller. We want to have dreams that are even bigger. That God is able and willing to do things that are greater than we've ever even imagined. He's able to do more than we can ask or even imagine. Paul prays in the book of Ephesians. And if we together in this idea of spiritual gifts can realize, you know, as we continue to increase and adapt the ministries of this local assembly in order to meet the spiritual needs of believers and to address the spiritual needs of unbelievers as we go out, as we equip the saints to serve in this changing culture, we can see God do bigger things than we've ever seen Him do. It doesn't make those things of the past any smaller. But our dreams being bigger than our memories. Well, let's go to the last part now, and I can see now I'm not going to finish it all, but we want to get started on this section here, understanding your part in the big picture of spiritual gifts. Here's what's going to get personal. Hopefully it's already been somewhat personal by the Holy Spirit, but here we're going to be looking at spiritual gifts through a Zoom lens. We're really going to get it. Now, you call that a Zoom lens? All right, we're going to zoom in. We're going to zoom in and we're going to look right where you are and right where I am. We're going to let the Spirit of God take the Word of God and zoom it right on down. You see, you're a part of the body if you know Jesus Christ as Savior. If you don't know Him as Savior, you're missing so much. You're still in your sins. You're on your way to a lost eternity in hell, separated from God. You have no real purpose in life, no matter you may have grabbed hold of one and felt like you gripped one, but you don't really have a purpose in life. And you're separated from God and are going to be forever, and you're not right before God. And you're not holy in the eyes of God. And you're not in the family of God. And you're not part of the body of Christ. An awful predicament. God makes the way out through His Son. He offers right now, the Lord Jesus says, come unto me. Come unto me. We sang that this morning. He'll make you fishers of men. First, you got to be His. And He wants to save you and change you and forgive you and give you a new life and give you a spiritual gift and make you a part of the body. He wants to do that. But if you've trusted Christ as Savior, you already have a spiritual gift. As the gift of grace is given to each. Wish I had time to point to every one of you individually. Look at my finger. Anyway, act like it's hitting you because that's the intent. If you know the Lord Jesus, you have a spiritual gift. You're a part of the body. We're dependent on you. Let's look, if we could, at some thoughts. Three thoughts here we'll use as our outline. Identifying your spiritual gift, implementing your spiritual gift, and inspecting your spiritual gift. Again, we're not going to get through all of this this morning, but we'll get started. First of all, I'm going too quickly. Identifying your spiritual gift. Go back with me to 1 Corinthians 12. I told you we were going to get there, and now we are. 1 Corinthians 12. And we're going to read three verses that we made comment on last week, but I want to just really zoom in on these particular verses. And each one of these three verses is going to match up with one of these three points that we have here. Identifying, implementing, and inspecting your spiritual gift. Notice down in verse 4. of 1 Corinthians 12. There are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. That's going to match up with number one on our outline, identifying your spiritual gift. Verse 5. There are differences of ministries, but the same Lord. That's going to line up with number two, implementing your spiritual gift. And then thirdly, verse 6. And there are diversities of activities, but it is the same God who works all in all. That's going to line up with inspecting your spiritual gift. But you notice the Trinity there. In verse 4, you have God the Holy Spirit. In verse 5, you have God the Son, the Lord. We didn't read it this morning, but if you go back to verse 3, you see Him speaking there of calling Jesus Lord. And then in verse 6, we have God the Father, the same God who works all in all. So let's start out here. Firstly, there in verse 4, there are diversities of gifts. Now, I'll make the point now that the word diversities, I'm reading from the New King James, and then in verse 5, differences, and verse 6, diversities. No matter what your translation, all three of those words are the same in the Greek. So it could say there are diversities of gift, diversities of ministries, diversities of activities. It's all the same word. He's speaking about the diversities here. Diversities of gift, that ability in the spiritual realm. Now notice here in the verse 4, there are diversities, there are differences, there are variety of abilities in the spiritual realm, but the same Spirit. He's talking about the Holy Spirit here. God the Holy Spirit, the gift that you have, is the gift that He chose for you to have. In His perfect wisdom, in His perfect plan, in His perfect design, the ability that you have is His plan. Look at verse 11 of 1 Corinthians 12. But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as He wills. Some of the gifts are visible, some are private. He chooses who has what. Some of the gifts are more verbal, some are more practical. The Spirit of God makes the choice. Some are coveted gifts. Others are very unappreciated and underappreciated. The Holy Spirit of God appreciates them all, and He's the one who gives those gifts. It's time for us to close. Next Sunday, Brother Ingemar de Ritter will be here. The Sunday after, we are going to go through that outline. We're going to get every one of these parts, understanding your part in this idea of spiritual gifts. We're going to really look. We're going to get down. We're going to zoom in on identifying your spiritual gift. We're going to zoom in on you implementing your spiritual gift. And we're going to zoom in on you inspecting your spiritual gift. And I promise, I'm going to do my very best to assure you that we'll get through all three of those. So if you're here on the 24th, which I hope you'll be here on the 17th, and I hope you'll be here on the 24th, we're going to go through that. We're going to get it all the way zoomed in right down to you. I might even have a bigger zoom lens when we come next time. So you be here. You be praying. You be realizing the importance that your spiritual gift has on this local body. Could that be what God wants you to go away with today? As we seek to equip saints to serve, could it be that God, through the Zoom lens, is wanting you to realize that in His eyes, the gift He has given you is a gift of which you are a manager? It's a gift that's given for the benefit of the body and for the glorification of God. And it's important. And if you're not using it, then this body's hurting. And the universal body is hurting. And maybe we're using our gifts and maybe we're not using them to the extent we should. Maybe we're being lazy with our gifts. Maybe we're being selfish. Maybe we're not being sensitive to the Spirit of God and to the Lord of our gifts. Might we meditate over these next couple of weeks, and might we consider what God might be trying to tell us individually We have a vision here, and you're a big part of that vision. Please take this seriously. Please be before the Lord. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for our time together this morning. What a blessing to be with your people, and any, Father, that don't know you that have come in among us, might they see that you are here. And Father, might we that know you see that you are here. And might we recognize from the Scripture that you, by your Holy Spirit, have given each one of us a gift, an enablement in the spiritual realm to do work for you. Father, help us to take that seriously. If we know what our gift is, may we use it humbly. If we're not sure, may we be before you and seeking your face. Father, I thank you for what you're doing here, what you've done through this assembly, what you're doing today. And Lord, we have big dreams about what you want to do. Father, we see Christianity under attack in our nation like never before. Father, we see your word being ignored and mocked in ways that we would never have imagined back when these children's songs were being sung years ago. But Father, it's happening. But Lord, in the midst of that darkness, we believe that it's your desire that Shannon Hills Bible Chapel be a lampstand that is shining in this community and around the world. And Lord, we plead with you to challenge our hearts and pursue us individually, Father, that we might fulfill those dreams that you have for us, that vision that you have. Father, I thank you in the name of your Son, the Lord Jesus. Amen. May the Lord encourage you as you seek to serve Him.